This podcast was made possible by an anonymous Irvingtonian and by our primary sponsor, Artisan Realtors, your Irvington real estate source.
Well, I never thought I'd sit out in public with a mask off and say, this is Firehouse Irvington. I'm excited. We're back. We're live. We're actually in Irvington at a very famous location, Giacomo's, in perhaps we're just inches away from the epicenter of Irvington. And we have a very interesting show today. It's our return show. We'll get an update on what's happening in Irvington with Don Briggs. We also have a couple of guests that are going to be telling us about pickleball. And you may say to yourself, because if you type it in your phone will try to autocorrect. But pickleball is a thing. And we are, of course, glad to be doing this show. Thanks to Artisan Realtors. We wish Dan could be here with us. He's always here in spirit. His show at his Bloody Mary's actually fuel Firehouse Irvington. So we're pleased about that. In the meantime, Giacomo's has some delicious local beer here, which also fuels Firehouse Irvington. Joining us is Don Briggs. And Don, of course, you always have your finger on the pulse of Irvington, and I'm glad you joined us and that you could be our first guest on our first live show. And we have our masks off, which almost feels daring, doesn't it?
It does. I feel naked, and I'm glad to be here naked with you, Jay. And, you know, this is our first show since the pandemic. I was on our first show originally as the calendar girl.
There you go. We've been so fortunate to have you sort of keep us up to speed on what's happening here in Irvington. And we've always said that Artisan Realtors is next to The Legend, a truly legendary restaurant here in Irvington. And I don't want to delve into sad news out of the gate, but The Legend is closed here in Irvington, and that's something we would have never expected.
No, and maybe it's not really sad news. Maybe it's great news. John and Kim got to retire. I mean, how many of us may ever retire? So they gave us the best of their time, their family's time, made us great food, a wonderful place to celebrate every single holiday. And then they said, we're done, and got to choose to go out on their own. It was kind of fun because on their last night, as you and I were discussing earlier, we invited Irvingtonians to the restaurant, and we all stood outside, lined the walkway, so to speak, and about 75 people clapped them out for their last night. And it was a great experience. I think they got flowers and posters, and I think they were really touched. But more importantly, it was a way for us to kind of tie it up in a bow and say, thank you, guys. I mean, when you think about owning a restaurant, what it meant to their family and how much they gave to us, it was pretty monumental. So we're happy that they're retired and hope they're going to do something wonderful and spend time with their three daughters.
So it was a more positive closing than it would just look at first blush, because it occurred during the pandemic. And I'm going to guess that was quite a struggle for them to attempt to run a business while we're kind of sheltering in place.
You know, I think it's been, as I speak to the other Irvington businesses, it's been a struggle for all of them. And what a lot of people are now seeing is that there's so much business. People are back to the restaurants. Don't think for one moment that they're not still suffering. So I think it's really important that we as Irvingtonians and anybody who's listening to this podcast get their fannies out and go over to Lincoln Square and eat, come over here to Giacomo's, go over to the Chicago Hot Dog Experience. Let's support our Irvington businesses. And that's a good segue for me to talk about other Irvington businesses if you want, Jay.
Oh, I'm excited. I want to hear more, because I really was a little worried driving back over here today, because it's been over a year now. We've been locked down. I thought, I just hope that I don't get further down Washington Street and see a bunch of closings.
Well, I do want to say that since it's been a year since you've been here, Irvington has been a dark place without you. But
that
in the meantime,
seems so unlikely.
But in the meantime, we've got a couple new businesses I want to share with you. There's a woman's clothing store called Josephine's at 5620 East Washington Street. It's kind of cool. It's a tribute to the maternal grandmother. And at Josephine's, they support strong, fierce, and independent women that come in all sizes, from small to 3X. So I think that's pretty cool. They're going to celebrate their grand opening on May 22nd at 11 a.m., but they're open now, so you can slip in and try on some wonderful clothes, get some perfume. There's jewelry. It's a pretty cool little shop. Also, we've had a new pop-up plant shop at the Irvington Theater, so over at 5505 East Washington. In the first month, they placed 450 plants, and when you read about it, it's almost like they're adopting them to you. They're letting you adopt their plants. It sounds like a wonderful place, and they also have some artists that are in there, so you can get some pretty amazing gifts, too. And then there's bougie biscuits, and I just like saying bougie biscuits. I'd like to hear Kevin say bougie biscuits.
bougie biscuits.
Yeah, they're at 10 North Johnson, and it's a pretty cool concept. Cynthia, the owner, is originally from Brooklyn, and I had a good opportunity to chat with her the other day. And she said her language of love is feeding people. And interestingly enough, my language of love is eating.
I was going to say, now it sounds very breakfasty. Would that just be a guess? Or?
Well, yes and no. They certainly have breakfast food, but they also have lunch-type food. They're going to be open Wednesday through Sunday. On Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they're open 8 to 3, and on Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 3. And they have breakfast food, certainly, but then they have some international flavors, too. And that was her concept, is to give you comfort food on a biscuit. And let's face it, I'd eat anything on a biscuit.
I would, too.
Really? Wouldn't we all?
Well, and, you know, it is a situation that one of the trends that has emerged from the pandemic is a buy and eat local experience. And here in Irvington, you know, being able to purchase directly from the good people of Irvington, I think, has been just absolutely great for this community. So one more local restaurant. I'm going to guess the bougie biscuits might be a little bit better than the biscuits you'd get at the drive-through window at insert name of fast food restaurant here. I'm just guessing.
I'm guessing so, too, but I just can't get past the name. Say it for me.
Bougie.
Look at you.
Bougie.
You're just not a voice. Oh, man, the bougie biscuit.
Oh, yeah. That was Elvis's favorite food, too, biscuit. And apparently he had too many of them. But, you know, we digress, and we don't want to even speculate as to what might have killed the king.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, oh, man. It's the peanut butter and nanner sandwiches. Okay, so let's talk about Irvington Organizations. What do you think?
Oh, I was waiting for that.
With rapt anticipation. You know, one of my favorite Irvington organizations to talk about is the Irvington Garden Club, whose motto is, "This ain't your mama's garden club."
That's right.
That's right. You know, they're responsible for planting almost 1,200 trees in this neighborhood, the urns at Audubon and Washington. They bring you the Irvington Farmers Market and the Irvington Garden Tour. And so they are moving forward with the garden tour this year on June 22nd. It's outdoors. They feel like it's going to be a safe thing. And so it's a great time to come to Irvington, get some ideas. Also, you can go to the Irvington Farmers Market the second Sunday of the month, noon to 3, at the northwest corner of Ellenberger Park, bordering St. Clair. I have been saying that for 15 years. It's like, at the northwest corner of Ellenberger Park, you can find the Irvington Farmers Market noon to 3. I say it all the time.
Sure.
So I just feel like it's a great
event.
Well,
and what a great tradition. And as you said, we're so fortunate that a farmer's market is still going to be part of our community, because I'm going to guess that was completely shut down last year, wasn't it?
They did end up having some.
Okay.
You know, these farmers are still growing their produce. They need a venue. And that's kind of what made this market so great in the beginning. When we were first looking at it, my partner, Marcia Doty, who, God love her, took care of all the brain work, and I just took care of the chatting of the farmer's market. That's why it was so successful. She did all the brain work. We really talked to people about what they needed, and these farmers needed one more venue to get their produce out, and there were no Sunday markets. And then you add that ours was in a park where it's cool, their produce is on grass instead of hot pavement. it made all the difference in the world to these farmers to have this option. And then community organizations, and then artists. You know, we were founded as an art colony in 1871, and there are so many insanely talented artists here in the neighborhood that it gave them an opportunity to get out and sell. And every once in a while, I'll see one of the artists who kind of started, like Patrice Slaybacker. She's unbelievable. She's renowned everywhere. And she used to cut out her paper picadillo at Irvington Farmers Market. I mean, and now she's in all the best galleries teaching. So it's neat to see how people have progressed.
Well, and it's always great, too, because as Irvington is landlocked within the city of Indianapolis, we always talk about food deserts, which is another social issue problem. Mm-hmm. So farmers markets fill that void. And as you said, that's all the more reason to do them. A, they're fun. B, it's a chance to get out and enjoy the park, because Ellenberger Park is terrific on a Sunday anyway. But if you can get some local people that are doing produce, who are doing, you know, meats and things of that nature, it's really terrific. So,
and we do have great meat and cheeses, and we also take WIC. That was one of Marsha's brainstorms, that we would accept the WIC program so people can come in this food
terrific
desert and get food for their children. So it's a win-win, certainly. So I urge people to attend the Irvington Farmers Market the second Sundays of the month.
See, I was excited about that, and we rarely do this show on a Sunday, but we make special dispensation to be at the farmers market, where oftentimes, you know, the There will be some type of animal shelter people there with the dogs with the Adopt Me vest on.
Yes.
And then that dog will stare at me the whole show, and then I'll feel really bad. But, you know, adoptions are up. That's what I'm saying. So,
did you see that adoptions are so up that veterinarians are alarmed because they can't service everyone?
They said that there were 12 million pets that were adopted this year during the pandemic in the United States, and that the average vet saw up to 400 new patients. So they said that the vets are actually stressed right now.
Yeah, I saw that too. Speaking of stress, let's talk about the Black Hat Society, my sister witches. That's a stressful group. Not really. For those of you that don't know, because Irvington is so Halloween-centered, we formed a group called the Black Hat Society. It was Karen Mullen's idea in 2016, and we are the Dancing Witches of Irvington, and we raise money for different events. Every year we pick our charities. A couple years ago, we gave $14,000 away to juvenile diabetes, the Poor House, which is one of Irvington's favorite charities, and then also to Paws Animal Rescue. But the witches have been busy. They did witchograms, and they went out and did poems for people dressed in costume. And I hope I say this right. They worked with the German American Festival for Walpurgis Night in the last day of April, and the witches went out and served beer and did one of their dances. So, and they just recently are celebrating Halloween, because Irvington, watch out, Irvington Halloween is on its way. We're at Halloween. So the sister witches are busy working on dances, and I'm pretty sure, you know, we most likely will not have a street fair this year. The council is working hand in hand with the health department, and they're waiting to get their information. So things could change, and we hope they will. But there will still be some Halloween events that the council will sponsor. But I know that the witches will probably do some kind of a pop-up dance. I guess they're not really raving. They're just witching around. But also, during COVID, the witches actually did 2 witch walks, and probably 30 to 40 witches in full costume just walked the streets of Irvington. And some guy drove by. We were out walking, and some guy went, "What else would I expect to see?" But 40
in Irvington, yes, absolutely.
In Irvington. So.
Well, and as you know, this is a community that relies very heavily on Halloween. We've been here for the Halloween festival, and the closer we can get to normal, it'll just be so much better. And you know, we've had the ghost tours and everything, so there are just so many things to look forward to. And I've got my fingers crossed that we're slowly but surely going to put COVID in the rear view.
I hope so. You know, when we're in council meeting, we talk about a smaller Halloween festival. as I said, waiting on information from the health department as far as the street festival. But we are going to go ahead with window painting and the run. So look for other things to be announced, because I do think that as things improve, as we're all vaccinated, there'll be more opportunities for things to happen for us. And I think that's important. We're known for that here in Irvington for the Halloween festival, among other things. And I think it's important to carry on if we can. But I appreciate that the council is being cautious and following all guidelines.
Well, I think so, too. I think we all have to be cautious. And I'm still involved in the media. And there is a mixed message that is kind of going out to the public right now that, hey, go out and do, you know, things in a pure normal fashion. But people are going to still be cautious. And you always think about liabilities of things. If you're any kind of a business or a restaurant or anything, and you're like, hey, come on in, don't wear your mask, everything's fine. And if something were to happen, if people got ill, you'd be like, well, that didn't work out now, did it?
Bad PR for your
business.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Speaking of business.
Speaking
of business, I did just want to mention that Hampton Designs has a whole new area for Irvington-specific merchandise. So that's a fun place to get new mugs and posters and T-shirts, because if you're an Irvingtonian, you can't wear it enough. You can't be proud enough to have Irvington on your chest, on your shoulder, in your house.
Absolutely. You've got to have, we call it swag.
Irvington swag.
Irvington swag.
And then after you get out your Irvington swag at Hampton Designs, you can just swing around the corner, go to Wiley Palooza and get a bubble tea and an Irvington glass. You can go over to Irvington Vinyl and get a book about Irvington, because really, what else is there to read about?
I love Irvington Vinyl. That is such a great shop, and you can get a tarot reading there.
You can't. Do you think it's groovy?
I got the best tarot reading ever.
What
and
did
it
they
cost
say?
Me $6.
What did they tell you?
Well, they told me, if you really want to know, because I feel like I'm sharing way too much.
Tell me.
They said that I would always be busy doing three things at once. And I am gainfully employed with a tech firm in Fishers, and I still work on the radio. And what am I doing today? I'm talking to Don on a podcast.
I'm a lucky
so
girl.
So you see, that tarot reading was what we call effective and accurate.
And only $6.
It was only $6.
Because in Irvington, you can get a deal. We're the east side.
She took it seriously. Absolutely.
That's right. We're OG east side. There's a long story about that east side that I'll tell you someday, not on the air. I do also want to mention, in getting back to normal, that the Benton House Association is going to have their book sale. And they have something called the Book Brigade. And so before the book sale, they invite people out to bring all the books up from the basement at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, July 14th. And if you are part of the Book Brigade, you get a free bag of books for the book sale that takes place on July 17th and 18th. In the meantime, if you have books to donate, they ask that you drop them in the deck box at the back of the Benton House.
Very good. And I love this event. It's always very cool. And as you and I know, I'm going to guess you're a pretty avid reader, and I am too. And you get to a certain point, and quantity is just as important as quality at times. So if you get a sack full of books, I'm going to give it a go. I'll read about a third of them probably, and then pass them along to somebody else to enjoy.
You know, I used to sell magazine advertising, and pass along readership is everything.
See, there you go.
See, there you go. I will also say that last year, under my husband's guidance, I gave the Benton House 327 books. Not that I was counting.
Oh, there was some guidance, all right. It was probably closer to an ultimatum, wasn't it?
It may have been. As much
just
of a...
The top floor of your home was actually listing slightly due to the weight of some books in a bookcase. But other than that, everything was fine at your house.
I think you're right. And it was as much of an ultimatum as Don Briggs could give one by saying, don't you think we have too many books, honey? No, never.
That's a man that's done all he can, is how I've always put it.
That's a man who's been married for 39 years.
He knows, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing that's cool is the Benton House is also going to have its home tour in September. They're going to do the home tour and classy car show, live music, a food vendor, Saturday, September 19th. And this year, thinking about COVID, instead of doing the tickets where somebody takes the ticket and checks it off and then hands it back to you, they're thinking about moving to wristbands. So I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, we're starting to try to get into light touch technology. So, no, that's very good.
You know, the other thing, though, that makes me a little sad is last week we did the cleanup at South Circle, you know, which I think of as Sioux Beecher Park. And it was amazing how many people showed up to do to help. Sue, the Queen of Irvington, just says, come help me clean, and people show up to do work. But we're not going to have the South Circle Concert Series this year, which makes us a little sad, and I won't get to hear Audio Diner, so I'm really sad about that. But I'm
They're sad, too. They don't have many gigs booked, and they were really looking forward to that one.
Maybe we could, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a group to play at your event, we'd like to recommend Audio Diner.
Wedding, bar mitzvah, divorce party, they do it all.
COVID-related parties, sure. They'll do it. Mask, no mask, clothes, no clothes.
They'll
do it all.
Somebody in your house finally got a clue, they'll come out and play. You know, they're not picky.
Wow, I think there's a lot of events I can think of that Audio Diner would be great to have.
Well, Dawn, I appreciate you joining us. We have very special guests. You know, we always talk about we want to expand the reach of Irvington. Well, this is an event that's happening here in the community. We are going to be talking to the Indianapolis pickleball people.
I can't wait to hear more about pickleball. I just like saying it. Pickleball, pickleball, pickleball. Say it three times fast, Jay.
There you go.
Pickleball and bougie.
Bougie.
Bougie pickleball.
Joining us to talk about pickleball, and the thing that I love the most about pickleball, we'll get into this undoubtedly with our guests, is the fact that for you to kind of get into pickleball, they have a lot of exhibition matches because you'll walk by and you'll go, what the heck is that? And joining us is Tim Thomas. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Sarah Oblon. And is there an official pickleball association that you guys are associated with?
Yeah, I'm currently branded all over my clothing, Indie Pickleball Club. We started this in October 2019, before the pandemic. And it has survived the pandemic and going strong.
Now, with pickleball, you can play on existing tennis courts. Is that accurate? So that helps a little bit if a community suddenly says, hey, you know, we really want to explore some pickleball opportunities here. And I will tell you that I have some friends that are engaged in pickleball, and they've become maniacs about it. Have you found that's kind of the case? Because the reason why I bring that up,
yes.
I'm much older than both of you. So In my world, in the 70s, it was so cool to know tennis. But then you quickly find out about tennis, one or two things happen. If you play really well, you're going to hurt yourself badly eventually. And also, to be around other tennis players requires, you know, there's some infrastructure involved. You've got to actually have a nice court and a decent net. And so I will say that it morphed into in the 80s of this isn't worth it anymore, but I've found that pickleball is sort of the opposite. Is that what you're finding?
Yes, absolutely. I came to the game kind of late or kind of recently in September. It was my COVID game. And what struck me is that how accessible it is, that it is very easy, even as a beginner, to come and have a pretty good experience your first time playing. And I think you said about describe people as turning into maniacs. I'm one, and I think Sarah is too. You're two for two with your guests on the maniac front.
No, that's so cool that it's that engaging. And obviously, we're all looking for some form of physical activity. And we want to get a physical activity that's kind of safe. And when you add some competitiveness to it, then you get some people that are motivated. Hey, I lost last week, but I'm going to win this weekend for sure. What makes pickleball different, let's say, from tennis, because it could be played on a tennis court, right?
Yeah, so pickleball is almost like you're playing a mixture of tennis, ping pong, badminton, and when you get really good, dodgeball.
See, I love that because you know that some college guys are sitting around and go, how can we integrate all these great things? Because dodgeball became famous, of course, because of the dodgeball film, you know. So, therefore, but then dodgeball is not a real sensible sport for adults to be playing with each other because there is some injury quotient there. But, yeah, I think anytime you could sit around and say, let's combine 3, 4, 5 great sports together, you know, everything other than lacrosse has been mixed into this. And by the way, I saw lacrosse for the first time the other day because I'd always heard about it. There's now a lacrosse league that's televised. I will tell you, cable TV, 3 a.m., you can really learn some stuff.
That's where it's at.
Lacrosse just looks downright dangerous. So if you're an adult listening to this podcast and saying, you know, I'd like to get in a lacrosse league, we recommend pickleball instead.
Yes, we welcome all lacrosse refugees to the game.
Very good.
For sure.
Now, if you just want to become just a sort of a entry-level pickleball person, is that easy to do?
It's really easy. There are some unique rules at the very beginning, and you quickly learn that the hardest part about the game is remembering how to say the score. But as soon as you get down a few of the nuances of the game, you can become super competitive really quickly. So it's a good equalizer from my perspective. With different age groups, different sports, different talents, and it just turns really fun. It is the best sport ever.
Now, is the equipment relatively inexpensive?
It depends on how good you are.
Ah, because see, that is the true mark of a sport. You know, you can get a tennis racket at the Goodwill for about $1.98. However, you're not going to want to play with that one for very long. Then you can get a full graphite model that looks like a Formula One car designer built it for right around $1,200. So is that somewhat like pickleball?
I mean, it's not $1,200. I mean, under $200, you can get a really good paddle.
Okay.
You play with a paddle instead of a racket.
Can you play with an entry-level paddle that's significantly less than that?
Oh, yeah. It's at Dick's Sporting Goods, and it's wood. It's just a wooden paddle. Is pretty entry level.
That's good. Now, is there some concern within pickleball circles that because you are literally holding what could be construed as a weapon, that in case a pickleball fight breaks out, that the pickleball contestants might go at each other?
No, that does not happen.
That's not part of the pickleball experience.
Because we get to slam the ball, and that's how we get back at our opponents, is by hitting them with the ball.
No, that's really cool. So where would people go to see people doing pickleball? Because my guess is once you kind of see it, it speaks to you and says, hey, this is something that you ought to give a try.
Yeah, I can speak to that one. There's play and courts at Ellenberger Park. There's one court with a net and one court that's without a net, and we can play on the court without a net. We have a couple of people who have portable nets that put those up, but we do play at Ellenberger. We play pretty regularly there. We have a group of about 30 people on a text list, and we put the call out that we're going to play, and whoever can come out will do so. And at one point we had 10 people come out for one of our sessions. That's the highest we've gotten, but usually we have 2 to 4 that come out to play. And we have seen some people who do exactly what you described. They see the game, they stop, and they ask what it is. One couple stopped and said that they were going to go out, and after seeing some play, they stopped and said, we think our grandkids would love this. We're going to go get a set for when they visit next weekend. And then I saw them that weekend coming out and with their grandkids.
Oh, good.
So it was, it really is accessible that way. And Ellenberger is a great place to start.
And
with
a
that
unique
kind of play.
Thing that Tim has started is he has a pickleball horn. Tell us more about this pickleball. It's unique to Irvington. I've never seen this anywhere in the country.
Well, we want to mark officially the start of a session of pickleball. So I have had a lifelong interest in the vuvuzela. So I put in a I called or got a hold of Amazon. Got two of them through Amazon. So at the start of most of our pickleball sessions, we blow the pickle horn, which then pulls the people from the neighborhood. It's a It's a clarion call that a game is beginning, and please come out and
when
play.
When they hear that sound, they know to come rushing out to Ellenberger Park.
Please converge. It's time.
And you never know that the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, which listens to this podcast, may be calling on you.
Excellent.
Because the vuvuzela is quite an endearing instrument, as you probably know.
It really is.
And not easy to play, you probably know. I mean, you know you bring some skill to it that's lacking.
I've been working on my chops. I think I'm finally there. I'm ready for ISO.
I don't think that's true. He's just loud.
Well,
he's just really loud.
There's some soccer fans that used to use that as a way to urge their team on, and there were some fans that came to blows, but that I'm going to leave that as a completely different story.
Loud and droning. That's,
do you guys, have a website that people could go to learn more?
So anybody can go to indiepickleballclub.com, and we have all sorts of information. We also have this, I'm wearing a really fun Nike hat. You can purchase that online. You can also understand how to rate yourself and understand any future tournaments that we have going on. And you can also join and become a member of Indy Pickleball Club.
That's very cool. And I'm the first to kid around about anything, but I am telling you, I have some friends that like have gone from, hey, you know, I should give it a try, or I heard someone talking about it, to literally being over the top about it. And obviously that may not be what you're looking for, is someone to go total mania on it, but it really kind of is a very captivating sport.
It's so captivating, and it's the healthiest addiction I've ever had, Jay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So maniacs, people who are addicted to the sport, they are welcome. We would love encouraged. For them to come to the club. We'd love for them to come join us at Ellenberger Park.
Yep.
Yeah, you can get a little sunshine, a little fresh air, a little exercise.
And with the better weather coming, it's a perfect time to start that.
Absolutely. There you go.
Yeah, we'd love to put a net on the court that is drawn. The lines are there, but just there's no net. So any support we could get for getting that net put up at the park, getting lines drawn on the permanent lines drawn on the tennis courts would
because
be another
Tim
big
does,
game.
Because what Tim does, because we don't have permanent lines, what do you bring?
I bring sidewalk chalk and a measuring tape, and we draw pickleball lines on the tennis court.
That's good.
In chalk.
Now, how much would the net cost? Because I'm thinking to myself, we should do a fundraiser for you guys where we broadcast live. Is it $98?
For a temporary one, you can get them for $100 to about $150. But the permanent ones, we want ones with the posts and to really sink them in. I'm guessing $300-$400.
Let's go $500 if we're doing a fundraiser.
$500
doing a fundraiser.
Do I hear $600? $600? $600 going once. We could draw more.
I think that if we could tie in local craft beer king Blackacre into this somehow, we could combine two great things, which would be, you know, in fact, we know some people at Blackacre. They should do a pickleball beer.
I think that this sport with alcohol is a fantastic idea.
I think it's set up for that. Well, you know, it's like anything. You get some great exercise, and afterwards you have a few beers to celebrate your win or loss, or, you know, you go over what happened during the game.
Sure. And naming opportunities are available. We could – the Blackacre Court, the Blackacre Net.
Oh.
I like that quite a bit. So we're going to work on that ourselves. This is Firehouse Irvington. We could obviously go on forever, and sometimes we do. But thank you so much for Tim Thomas and Sarah Oblon for joining us. And give me that website one more time.
IndyPickleballClub.com.
Go there. Enjoy. And
hey, Jay, I have one quick thing. If you want to, if you're interested in joining us at Ellenberger, you can contact me through email. Can I provide my email through this?
Yes, please do.
Call me or email me at Thomas, TimJ, Thomas. TIMJ@gmail.com, and we can add you to the Ellenberger pickleball list.
Good. I appreciate you putting that out there. You know you're going to get thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands.
Bring it. Thanks, Jay.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, this has been Firehouse Irvington. We'd like to thank Don Briggs for being with us earlier, Tim Thomas and Sarah Oblon from the Pickleball People, and, of course, Dan from Artisan Realtors, who is with us in spirit. And we'll probably drag him on a show sometime in the not-too-distant future. And good things happen here in Irvington. Thanks for being part of it. We're glad to be back sort of post-pandemic. We're going to cautiously attempt to do this on a fairly regular basis and get into the burg that we call Irvington. Thank you, and be kind to each other.